Get ready for the Magic Valley PrepCast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Your eyes and ears do not deceive you. After a brief time away, the Magic Valley PrepCast is back, baby, and better than ever. Good Friday, everybody, and welcome in. This is our mostly weekly breakdown of the latest happenings in District 4 athletics in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey. Let's bring on our Magic Valley resident and expert, Scott Burton. Scotty, what's up?
It's episode 100, Brandon! Let's go! Yeah, been a long time, but we're here. It's 100.
We have hit the 100 episode point in our journey here. It took us almost 3 years to get there, but man, what an incredible journey it's been, Scott. You were all ready to go for this party. We had to, it took you so long to plan what you were going to do. We had to take a couple weeks off from the show.
Alexa, stop. Perfect. Yeah, so we kind of, a little bit of help. We busted out the decorations. Les helped quite a bit set this up. I really didn't have anything to do with it, but it's kind of a big deal. Celebration, one, I don't even know what shoulder, 100. And never thought we'd get there, but man, it's been a great ride so far.
And 100 more to go. We will keep on that. I don't want to sign you up for that long of a commitment. We'll see. But it has been an incredible journey thus far. We've done, you know, I don't know, 115, 120-ish episodes in total, but that's counting all right of our, you know, statewide specials that we put into the Magic Valley PrepCast feed. Just you and me talking, Scott, episode right number 100.
That is correct. And, you know, it's funny because when we started this thing, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah. You
know what it was? You know, we're just like, let's do a little podcast, see what happens. Maybe we'll get, you know, a couple of people watching it. Maybe I'll call my mom, have her tune in if she can ever figure out how to work technology. But 3 years later, here we are. And man, it has really grown. And just couldn't be more proud of, you know, what we've been able to accomplish at Idaho Sports, not with just this podcast, but with all of them, as they have just received a tremendous amount of support and traction, viewership. And it's been quite a ride. It's been fun.
Yeah, we do have four regional podcasts we do every week. The North Idaho PrepCast, the Treasure Valley PrepCast, the Magic Valley PrepCast, of course, and then the East Idaho PrepCast. Each has its own distinct style and format. There's certain elements of each show that make it unique. And for this show, Scott, I really think it is the interaction we get from coaches, athletic directors, athletes. We get that buy-in from the people that are in the arena competing.
Oh, absolutely. And it's to the point where you don't even have to identify yourself anymore, as far as, like, you know, when I send out some emails or reachers for coaches or whatever, all I have to do is just mention podcast, or they see kind of Idaho Sports, or they see our names or whatever. They know, people know now. And it's a staple in our valley. Our valley loves it. And ton of viewers, a ton of comments. So many times it's just been, hey, great podcast. You know, you and Brandon, keep it up. And, you know, those kinds of things. Appreciate what you're doing for our kids. And you just, those types of things are really what it's all about. I mean, obviously we're not making any money doing this, but it's about just getting word out and being relevant and giving these kids something to look forward to and be proud of. And I wish, you know, I had this back when I was playing, but then again, I wish I'd had electricity too. So, and running water, plumbing would have been nice. Not putting my coat on to go to the bathroom would have been good. But anyway, point is, this is a great time and I love what we're doing.
You took a stagecoach to the games instead of the team bus.
I totally did. It arrived on horseback. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have more reflection on 100 episodes and what I mean. It's enough of us patting ourselves on the back here, because it really is about the athletes and the kids. And so
absolutely,
we do want to
100%.
let's highlight some of the incredible things that have been happening. We kind of had a flurry of no hitters on the baseball diamond, Scott. This was now, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but we thought it still deserved mention. We had Glenn Sferry in a doubleheader against two different opponents. They played Rimrock in the first game and then Gem State Academy in the second game. Those are both conference opponents for the Glenn Sferry baseball team, Scott. And in both games of the doubleheader, they threw two no-hitters and two distinctly different no-hitters. In the first game, Jesus Ortiz goes the distance. It ended up being a five-inning game due to the 10-run rule, but he had 14 strikeouts, Scott, and the only thing that kept it from a perfect game was three walks. It's pretty impressive.
I mean, yeah, I mean, break that down by the numbers. I mean, you only get 15 outs, right, in that five-inning game. 14 of them came via strikeout. I mean, how dominating of a performance that is, and how boring for his fielders. Hey, yeah. batter. Hey, batter. Dominating.
It's like one ball in play. That was it.
Yeah. And then all eight guys behind him are fighting for that one ball because that's all they're going to get that entire game. You got eight guys calling for it. But man, what a groove that Ortiz was in, you know, striking out 14. That is just, that's insane as they won that game 14 to nothing.
And then in the second game of the doubleheader, Rimrock passes Gem State on the way out and says, good luck. And so Gem State enters the arena to take on Spartacus. And in the second game, it was a combined no-hitter. Junior Sanchez and Dominic Guerrero teamed up to throw another five-inning no-hitter as Glenn Sferry won 12-2. And you go, well, how can you allow two runs and pitch a no-hitter? Well, you walk five guys and a couple guys get in. That's fine. They struck out 12 batters over five innings of work. So, again, you know, not a lot of balls in play necessarily, but for the second game of this doubleheader, a combined no-hitter by Junior Sanchez and Dominic Guerrero.
Yeah, insane. Here we go again. It's almost like a rinse and repeat after that first game. I mean, again, 15 outs is all you get. 12 of them were strikeouts. And so when you think about it, that doubleheader had 30 outs, 26 came via strikeouts. And I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, there's not a, you know, very many dirty jerseys, you know, nobody's diving for baseballs. But what a pitching performance by three different people, you know, Junior Sanchez, Dominic Guerrero, and Jesus Ortiz. So, you know, it's something that Glenn Sferry is going to remember just because those things don't happen, you know, as much anymore. They're something special and they should be celebrated.
And I'm trying to remember it, and Glenn Sferry fans can let me know in the comments or for it by email, Brandon@idahosports.com. But I did the 1A state baseball tournament last year. I think Jesus's nickname is Chewy. I think they call him Chewy Ortiz. I could be wrong on that. So Glenn Sferry fans, let me know. But he's been doing this for a couple of years now for the Pilots. And then on the other side, Scott, more recently, we had a pair of 2A double hitters, no hitters, one from each of the teams that's in the Magic Valley, Wendell and Declo. And the kind of interesting wrinkle here is it came against the same opponent, Bear Lake. And so Bear Lake's over in District 5, and they're going, you know, if we don't ever have to come back to the Magic Valley to play, that's totally fine by us. They lose 22-0 to Wendell, 15-4 to Declo, get no hit in both of those games. Let's start with the Wendell game. It was a combined no-hitter by Lucas McRoberts and Gunnar Jones. Again, five-inning game due to the 10-run rule.
Yeah, you know, McRoberts struck out eight, walked three. Jones struck out four, walked one. You know, so again, 12 strikeouts, 12 of the 15 outs were on strikeouts. And, you know, in high school baseball, especially at the lower, you know, the smaller school level, you see these no hitters being dominated by pitching performances and strikeouts. Because, I mean, the reality of the situation is in high school, it is so hard sometimes to throw a no-hitter if you don't have a ton of strikeouts, because you're basically relying on your defense to make every play. And it's not the majors. And we've seen, you know, Major League Baseball games have no-hitters, but those no-hitters, I mean, aside from the fact that it's nine innings and whatever, tremendous defensive plays are getting made on the regular. And in high school baseball, you don't always get that. And so a lot of times when you see these no hitters, it's coupled with a ton of strikeouts. And when Wendell took care of Bear Lake, that was no different. You know, 12 out of the 15 were strikeouts.
Yep. And then Bear Lake came back and played Declo, and Declo got a 15-4 win, another five inning game due to the 10 run rule, and another combined no hitter, this time from Bodie Lom and Britton Zollinger from Declo. They did walk a lot of guys. They walked seven. That allowed four unearned runs to score, but still a no hitter. And Bear Lake's going, geez, only one of those two is going to get to state. And that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. And it's the same thing. And I can imagine Bear Lake coming off of that thing with Wendell going, okay, hey guys, we're fine. We got a lot of hits left in us. The bats are still alive. Let's go wake them up. And apparently the bats never got off the bus again. And so again, more strikeouts. Like you mentioned, Lom walked or struck out nine, and nine of those 15 are strikeouts. But it's the walks, you know, and if you're looking, if you are Declo in this situation, and even Wendell and Glens Ferry, I mean, yeah, you're looking at these things going, hey, great pitching performances, right? But if we happen to get to that next level, we got to do something about the walks, because we're giving free passes away, even though they're not hitting the ball. So being a baseball guy, or, you know, I see that, and that's one thing I would look at too. And I know their coaches are looking at the same thing, but don't let it take away from the performances of their pitchers. Because again, like I said, that's pretty special.
Yep. Scott, your Jerome Tigers. Scott is the athletic director at Jerome High School. And we'll talk about another state championship banner that's going to be hung in Jerome High here in a little bit. But first, let's talk Jerome softball. The Tigers quietly putting together a good season, 7-7 overall, 5-3 in Great Basin Conference play. They recently took both games of a doubleheader with Mountain Home. It was last Friday. They won by final scores of 17-2 and 20-9. And on the surface, if you just look at the scores, you go, yeah, pair of nice wins for Jerome, and you move on about your day. And this is what the Magic Valley Prepcast is all about, going beyond that box score, because in addition to the two games that were played, there was a much bigger purpose for these two communities coming together, a really cool initiative and movement spearheaded by Mountain Home High School, the YAM movement. And we're not talking about the cousin to the potato, right? Oh, you got to get more yams in your diet. We're talking about YAM as an acronym. You are more.
Yeah. What a cool thing is happening in Mountain Home. And we were really fortunate to be part of it. You are more means you are more important than you realize. And it's a mental health type of awareness campaign. And the cool thing about it is I got a nice letter from one of the principals at Bennett Mountain School in Mountain Home, Stephen Tizar. And it was really nice when he recognized that our podcast, we talked about, and this was about 2 weeks ago, we talked about mental health. And they were in the middle of this campaign, and they got hold of our podcast on that and said that that really inspired them to even take it further. Because it's something that is so important with our mental health. And, so this whole thing started, and you may recognize the name Ava Johnson, who is, you know, a standout athlete at, you know, Mountain Home High School. You know, she kind of got involved in this, from what I understand, through her sister, because, you know, her sister was battling some injuries and tore both of her ACLs, you know, over the past 3 years. And it took two basketball seasons away from her. And Ava could see the mental strain, the health, the depression, whatever was going on of any athlete who's not able to go out and do their thing. And it really got her thinking about mental health, and especially from an athlete standpoint. And so, you know, she was motivated by this. And so she kind of took initiative, and then she reached out to Boise State University to one of their sports psychologists to figure out what I need to do and what's the problem here and, you know, what can I do? And so she kind of got an idea of what she wanted to do, got some knowledge on mental health, but it was really her motivation and desire to do something for her community that sparked this whole thing. And then she teamed up with Tzar, and they kind of made the Yam thing, logos, apparel. And boy, this thing is really deep when you look into it. It's not just, hey, let's create a movement and call it something. They are, I mean, they're selling apparel. They have guidelines for how you act and behave when you are wearing their apparel. They've got activities that they suggest that you do in support of this You Are More movement. And really, what a great way to rally a community together, because no matter how safe and sound you think a community is, there's always going to be someone and multiple someones that need help. And knowing that they've got this, you know, community of support is going to do nothing but good things.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And there's, I mean, You Are More leads to so much more. They've got just some examples, right? You are more than negativity. You are more than a stereotype. You are more than a social label. You are more than social media, what's portrayed on social media. You're more than a bad day. You're more than a bad test score. You're more than a bad relationship. You are more important than you realize. And in the athletic arena, we can get so caught up in the wins and losses and who did well and who didn't. If we have to remember, even at the highest level, all the way to the professionals, these are still human beings at the end of the day, right? And they hurt and they grieve and they feel just like all of us.
And it's so true. And it's like we talked about in you know, our Scott's thoughts last time we did it was, you know, these kids are growing up in a different world and it's not the same as we did. And so their struggles are going to be a lot different. And if we can somehow get ahead of that and let them know that, hey, we're here and there are people here, because, you know, we're kind of in this weird time where we are the most connected society in the world, yet we're the most disconnected from each other. And there's so much isolationism and aloneness and just kind of disparity that people feel they just don't have anybody. And by doing things like this and kind of letting it infiltrate throughout a community just can do nothing but strengthen the bonds and the ties that these people have to each other. And hopefully it spreads beyond their community walls too, to where other, you know, schools can take initiative and do something similar.
Yeah, it's already been extended to Jerome, and we'll talk about that in a second. But every the second Wednesday of every month at Mountain Home High School is You Are More Days, where everyone is encouraged to wear their You Are More apparel and kind of just lift each other up. And I think that's awesome. So it's the second Wednesday of every month at Mountain Home High School. And then, Scott, when Jerome came to Mountain Home to play this softball doubleheader last Friday, it was extended to the game as well, right?
Yeah, the timing of it was really kind of cool because it came off the heels of our mental health podcast. And it just so happened that Jerome was headed to Mountain Home and it was last weekend. And so what they did is they got all of our players Yam shirts and that they wore and they played the game. And it was just it was one of those things to where, sure, there was a game going on, but there was something bigger than the game going on. And everybody knew it. And it didn't matter really who won or lost. I mean, it did, but at the end of the day, there was something bigger going on. And so it was really, really cool. And I wish I could have been there. I was tied up at another event that we'll talk about here shortly. But from what I understand and the feedback that I'm getting, is everything was just a massive, massive success. And so I just couldn't be more proud of what Mountain Home's doing, what Ava and Steven have done. And then for us to come and join them and be part of it is phenomenal. And, you know, the cool thing about it is they've designed all of this apparel, this swag, and it's got the tiger paw because they're the Mountain Home Tigers. Well, guess who we are, right? So it fits what we're doing. And they're saying, hey, they want us to. hey, this stuff is not Mountain Home specific. It's just got the tiger paw. You have tiger paws. Here you go. And it works. And so we're very fortunate to be part of it.
Same colors and everything, right? Black and orange. And here is a picture after the doubleheader last Friday of Jerome and Mountain Home players coming together. You can see the You Are More pink t-shirts, and just a cool moment for these two teams to come together.
Yeah, very cool. And it's something I hope kids remember. I mean, at Jerome, we do obviously, not obviously, but we do boot checks with the J Foundation every Wednesday. You know, we've got our cowboy boots on. You can see them in the hallways. You can see them all over the place. I mean, I wear my boots and Wranglers every Wednesday, and just if nothing more, just a sign of solidarity when it comes to our commitment to, to improve our mental health.
Yep. It's a pretty incredible story. So keep up the great work at Mountain Home. As you mentioned, Scott, you weren't able to be there for the softball doubleheader because Jerome High School was hosting the Idaho State Speech Championships. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, but you are the speech coach at Jerome High School. When you became the athletic director at Jerome, that was one of your stipulations, is you and your agent were negotiating your contract, right? That you could still be involved with the speech program.
Yeah, kind of. It's funny because, I taught speech, the basic speech, and coached the speech team at Jerome since 1998. And when I decided to move into, administration and become the athletic director, it was one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make, is to leave the classroom. But at the same time, it's like, I'm looking at retirement as well, and I got to do kind of what's best to set myself up for that. But there, I had two stipulations. Number one is that I continue to work for Idaho Sports, and do what I do with them, including broadcasting state tournaments and whatever. And I have my say whether or not I coach the speech team. And so when I took it, I stayed out for a year. I let the new person go, but it was kind of coming out of COVID and we just needed a rebuild. And I give a lot of credit to our current speech teacher, Shelby Burke, who's kind of been an old student of mine. That was on my team back in the day, came back and took my old job. And now we're rebuilding things after COVID. And so it's been really successful. The speech team at Jerome has been a flagship for our school and community for a long time. And it's nothing that I'm doing. It's just that we've got great kids that drink the Kool-Aid, and it's a lot of fun. I just get the heck out of their way.
Yeah, it's been fun. And Jerome has been nothing short of dominant in speech. I don't even know how many championships and how many years has it been, Scott, with the caveat being Jerome once again won the state speech championship last week.
Yeah, just really fortunate to be proud of a machine that just keeps on going. For me personally, this is the number 21. And so we hope to increase that number by at least 5 more before I retire, but we'll see. But again, it's not me, it's the kids, and they just buy in. It is such a cool vibe. If you could just be around what we're doing, it's not just a club that kids show up for and they're like, oh, well, what do we do? Well, I don't feel like doing it today. Well, no, you are, because we're teaching leadership. We're teaching, personnel management. We're teaching, how to set deadlines. It's not just you're turning kids loose. And then we're working on meticulously every word, every thing they write, every way that they say the word. I mean, we're not turning them into robots, but we're turning them into speakers and presenters. And so when they get up there, and the speech thing really quickly is just, it's a hybrid. It's a three-headed monster, really, of drama, speech, and debate. So we have like informative speaking, persuasive speaking, impromptu, radio, humorous acting, serious acting, duo acting, after-dinner speeches, retelling kids' stories. I mean, it is just people think of speech and they're like, well, you just stand up and give speeches. Well, no, not really. There's a million things that go into this. And so we're teaching these kids 14 different styles of public speaking that maybe they can use in their lives down the road. And so that's the cool part.
Yeah, pretty incredible stuff. And congratulations to Jerome for hosting and then, but also winning another state speech championship. Really cool moment there. And we'll talk more about effective communicating coming up in Scott's thoughts. Before we get there, though, Scott, let's quickly circle back to 100 episodes and kind of reflect just a little bit. Is there a favorite moment or story or something that's happened in the 3 years we've been doing this that just will stick out in your mind?
You know, there are a couple that stand out, and I know that once we go off air, I'm going to think of like two or three more. Always the case. In no particular order, I remember. Well, this whole mental health thing, our podcast on that really went bananas, and that has been huge because it meant something to people. So that stands out. I also remember the whole Brody Birch thing from Pocatello was such a cool story as he flies in from state track and then pitches, you know, the state championship game. And, you know, those are really cool stories that we love to tell, you know. And then there's all the little things that coaches say to you when you prep for these, you know, podcasts. It's just, you know, what they were thinking on the sidelines, you know, the conversations they had with their players that give you insight to, you know, decisions they make that give you context to the game. Those are the cool things that I really like to bring to our show, just because it's something different. And like you said, Beyond the Box Score is really what we're about, you know? And so through 100 episodes, man, those are just a couple that stick out. I know there's more. And I know you've got some as well.
Yeah, there's two that jump to the front of mind for me. One is we don't have guests often on the show. When we do, it's usually for a big reason. We had Sean Walker.
That's the other one right there, because of that story right there. So huge, so big. Great. That was a great show.
Yeah, Sean Walker is the athletic director at Twin Falls High, a colleague of yours, Scott, good friend of yours, and of course his daughter, Harper, was battling cancer as a sophomore in high school. It's just something that you don't expect to ever go through as a parent. And we had Sean on from his hotel room in Salt Lake City, where Harper was receiving her treatments, and just opening up and giving him the platform to kind of say thank you all at once. Cause he's the kind of guy that, and he kind of admitted this, that, you know, I thought we could just handle this internally. And then he said the outpouring of some support from not just Twin Falls, but the entire Magic Valley. And just the fact that he was able to express that gratitude in one place. Cause he's a guy that I think thought, okay, internally we can handle this, but all that support started pouring in, and Harper's doing great now, and the entire family is doing great. And so just to give him that platform to talk about it a little bit, I thought was really impactful.
Oh, absolutely. That is near the top of the list, if not at the top. And it's just one of those things that, you know, it shows, I think, the power of positivity, where anytime you battle cancer or anything for that matter, surrounding yourself with positivity is crucial. I mean, you think about it, you know, and you talk to any, you know, doctor or patient that's gone through those kinds of things, the power of the mind is so vital in this, but it can only take so much. And the outpouring of support that the Walkers got just showed how much people really cared, not just about the situation and then a child had cancer, but it spoke volumes to the type of people that were involved in this. And I mean, I couldn't be more proud to be, you know, friends of that family and to see the positivity that just kind of radiated throughout that whole ordeal. And even more to see her get better. You know, there's still some hurdles to climb, what a great story.
Yeah, very impactful. And then the other one that immediately comes to mind, Scott, this is something we kind of just casually said, like within the first couple of months of doing the show, and it spread into a movement, and it's the year of the musher at Camas County High School. I can't, I can't see somebody from Camas County now. Or, you know, when I see Mike McCann, their athletic director, you're the musher, baby. You're the musher. It was just incredible how that took off.
Wow. Yeah. Right. Who knew that little phrase that we said in one of our podcasts was going to attach itself to an entire community and an entire school. I kind of feel like we should have a trademark on that. But it fits, it goes. And anytime Camas is doing well, here we go. It's the year of the musher. And boy, what a cool deal that became. Man, I forgot about that. That is, well, and the reason I forgot about it is because I kind of forgot it originated here. It's just the year of the musher over there. It's just common now. So very cool.
And it's turned into multiple years of the mushers. And of course, it all culminated with a boys basketball championship this past winter and an appearance in the state football championship as well. It was really fun covering Camas County, and obviously we'll continue to do so in the future. But just the way that took off and just spread was really cool to see. So, All right. And those that are watching or listening, if you've got a favorite moment, you know, let us know too. We'd like to share and reminisce in it. And that's really what it's all about, is sharing this every week with the great folks of the Magic Valley. Scott, we've got in the comments here, shout out to Roxy Sheen, walk-off grand slam to win the second game against Canyon Ridge Tuesday night. Bottom of the seventh, tied 12-12. Buell wins 16-12. That's a freshman, Scott. Roxy Sheen with the walk-off grand slam. Cool.
Yeah, how about that little freshman step into the box and send one flying? Congratulations. Perfect. Love this stuff right here. This is exactly what we're talking about. Love to hear it.
And if there is a story, an athlete, a coach, something remarkable happening that you want us to talk about, you can email either one of us, Brandon@IdahoSports.com, Scott@IdahoSports.com. And we would love to share it, because that's what it's all about, is shining the spotlight on these incredible young men and women that are doing great things in our communities. So thanks for putting that in there, Melody. Yeah. Good to give the Buell softball team a little love for sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, and the other thing too, Brandon, as we're kind of moving into spring sports and the summer, these are great times for these human interest stories. Because there's going to come a point here real quickly that there's not going to be a lot of scores to talk about and games to recap and highlight. So, you know, we love the human interest stories. If you're out there and you've got one or you know one, reach out to us. We would love to do some interviewing, deep dives, those kind of thing, and bring those stories to light beyond the box score.
Definitely. All right, Scott, we wrap up the show with Scott's thoughts. Just a quick refresher for those that may not be familiar. This is something we started in the fall, kind of a segment we do at the end of each episode where I give you a topic. It could be related to sports. It could be related to mental health. It could be related just to day-to-day navigating through life. But I give you the topic and then you kind of jot down your thoughts on it and pontificate, as it were. We have covered, and if you want to see all of the Scott's thoughts, we've done 14 or 15 of them covering a wide array of topics. We have a playlist on the IdahoSports.com YouTube channel. You just click on the Scott's thoughts playlist and they're all right there lined up for you. Things as simple as doing the little things in life that we don't want to do but have to be done, to the grass is greener syndrome, to mental health, as we discussed on our last show, Scott. And so for this week's topic of Scott's thoughts, it's how do we communicate better? And more specifically, how do we address things that are difficult to address early on? Because so often in life, relationships get destroyed, whether it's coach, player, teammates, co-workers, boss, employee, husband and wife, brother and sister, father and son. These relationships get destroyed beyond repair because we're not willing to address the things that need to be addressed head on. And we sit and let things fester and pile up and stack up until it's the point of no return.
Yeah. It's just one of those things to where we almost take it for granted in a way that our ability to communicate is crucial to our survival. But it's also shrouded in a lot of like negativity and lack of empathy and those kinds of things. And that is just a societal, I guess, byproduct. And it's affecting our ability to communicate with each other. So when I kind of took a look at this, I'm thinking, all right, I could go into a thousand things on why we're just not really good communicators, but I wanted to pick out just maybe three things that I'm seeing that maybe we could be better at. That's not to say that there aren't other areas, because we could go all day on something like this. But you know, I kind of focused in on three things that maybe we can do, and then maybe some things that we can do to get better towards, you know, the end, because communication is so important, and it's amazing how many problems could be solved if we just talk to each other and showed a little bit of respect.
Yep. Okay. Well, with that as the table setter, here is this week's edition of Scott's Thought.
A few weeks ago, I went to dinner and I saw a couple who was on a date night. They sat across from each other, and for what seemed like an hour, they didn't really engage in conversation, as nearly all of their attention was given to their phones. Their body language suggested that there was somewhere else that they wanted to be, and this was supposed to be an important time in their relationship. Well, yet as I looked around the restaurant, I saw about a dozen other tables doing the exact same thing. Later that evening, I went to a ball game, only to watch half the crowd watch their phones and not the game, while the other half yelled and screamed personal insults at officials. Body language, word choice, vulgar, and negative. And on the way home, it got me thinking. What seemed like a normal day, common occurrences, was just a microcosm of our society. It was nothing more than the proof of the erosion of effective communication and how we engage with each other. Communication. It's the key to human connection. It's the lifeblood of all relationships. And it's the number one contributor to fights, wars, breakups, divorces, misunderstandings. Communication is something we do every day, but it's something we don't do efficiently every day. It seems to me that we are gradually losing our ability to effectively communicate with each other, whether it's work, friendships, relationships, or even self-communication. This basic skill isn't so basic anymore. We constantly see people at each other's throats, people flying off the handle with rage, violence, looting, friendships falling apart, relationships crumbling, and even the fundamental privilege of being able to communicate with each other has turned negative, non-productive, and it doesn't seem to be getting much better. A deep dive into the intricacies of communication could take forever, and there's so many factors which contribute to our ability to communicate. But as I step back and I take a longer look at least what I'm seeing, there were three things which stood out to me as maybe why we're losing the ability to effectively communicate. First, one of the biggest threats to our mental well-being is just finding someone to listen. We don't listen well, and our ability to actively listen has deteriorated, and more people are left feeling alone and powerless. You see, we sometimes confuse the need to listen with the need to talk. And like I said before, we no longer listen to understand, we listen to respond, and that is not listening. We live in a culture of impatience and instant gratification, where we just skim through messages, halfway pay attention, and eagerly wait to respond, and then try to offer solutions and fixes. Well, that doesn't quite capture the essence of listening. Communication doesn't begin with words, but with ears willing to listen. Couple this with how judgy and gossipy we are, and the fact that we can't focus on one thing at a time, and it's no wonder people feel like nobody truly listens. You know, it's funny, we spend so much time teaching people how to talk, but not a second is spent on how to listen. I heard someone say, we have talk shows, but not listen shows. We have peace talks when we really need peace listens. We talk too much, listen too little, and comprehend rarely. We forget that we need to seek first to understand, and only then can you seek to be understood. Secondly, we can't discuss the decline in communication without addressing the elephant in the room. With the rise of digital communication, face-to-face interaction has significantly declined. And with that, so has our willingness to communicate in person, or even on the phone for that matter. Because we choose the digital world, we lose so much in terms of body language, facial expressions, tone. Have you ever had a text message argument that shouldn't have been an argument because someone didn't interpret tone correctly? The greatest myth of our times is believing that technology is true communication. See, many don't realize that only 7% of human communication is verbal, the words we say. 93% of all of our communication is nonverbal. And so, in this online world in which we choose to live, it can make true communication nearly impossible. Not to mention there are all the negative side effects when we make digital communication our preferred platform. See, what we do is we end up creating this dopamine-driven feedback loop, which provides and prioritizes online engagement over in-person connections. And all of the dings and notifications severely affect our attention spans, which might help explain why we can't focus on anything or anyone who needs us to listen. And in turn, our focus becomes quantity over quality, and our communication declines. And a quick byproduct of this tech world is the lack of ability to spell anything outside of our own names. This is communication too. Reading, writing, spelling scores are down everywhere, and nearly every study indicates that our phones and technology have crippled our ability to spell correctly, punctuate properly, or even give the slightest consideration to grammar, further illustrating that our ability to communicate exists in an illiterate echo chamber where we surround ourselves in this online world with like-minded people, which leads us to polarization and lack of empathy. And communication, at this point, is nothing more than text speak and run-on sentences. And lastly, one of the biggest roadblocks on our communication journey is how we listen. Yes, we listen to respond. Yes, we listen with judgment. Yes, we are impatient and our attention spans are non-existent. But there's something else about the way we process what we hear. Our world exists on the fringes, the extremes, where everything we seem to engage in is attached to an emotion. That's how politicians get elected. It's how media outlets sell their stories. And it's now how we listen. Logic is replaced with emotion. And the road to compromise and understanding, well, it's always under construction. Our communication is corroded to the point where our perspectives get dismissed and our beliefs demonized, all because we lack emotional intelligence to separate our thoughts from our feelings. Because they've become one. So we lose the ability to understand each other, and we get angry, and we won't let it go. And holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. But this is where we are with our communication. We don't listen, we can't pay attention, and we attach emotion to everything. Not exactly a beacon of hope. So what can we do? What can we teach ourselves and our children to be better, to not succumb to a digital world which dumbs us down, amps up our emotions, and strips us of our ability to communicate rationally? Well, for starters, slow down and stop the madness. When we race from one thing to the next, one thought to the next, how can we possibly give our time and attention to others? So slow down and then put it down and engage. There are people who truly need you to listen. And listening is about being present, not just about being quiet. I challenge you. The next time you're out to eat, put your phone away and engage in meaningful conversation where you look the other person in the eye by following the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time you have eye contact. The other 20 is just looking away to gather thoughts and to not come across as some psychotic staring freak. But I also challenge you to be cognizant of the words you say and how you say them. Communication is a skill. The what when and how to communicate. That's the art. Think, don't react. Don't just focus on the negative when trying to resolve an issue. Acknowledge the positives so you don't become the interrupter, the eye roller, the head shaker who validates nobody's opinion but your own. Effective communication doesn't mean you have to agree with someone, but you damn well better respect how they feel and why they are feeling that way. You don't always have to be right. So open your mind to others and let your actions speak louder than your words. And from a coaching and leadership perspective, communicate the why. We tend to focus so much on the task, do it this way, or just do what I say, but we fail to communicate the why. And without a reason, what we're asking becomes an order with no understanding. And realize that positive communication isn't just used to solve problems. We need it to prevent problems from arising in the first place. Communication is about having tough conversations in a civil manner without engaging in vitriol messages. It's about manners, respect, and self-awareness. It's about knowing that a world exists outside of your 3-foot bubble. And it's about paying attention to those around you and hearing all of the things that are not said. It's about being aware of body language and facial expressions. It's about a smile, a hug. It's about showing others you care and that they matter. It's about knowing that how we talk to our children will eventually become their inner voice. In closing, communication is difficult, but it's the bridge between confusion and clarity. And if we want to positively move forward in this world, which lives in the extremes and the negative, the ability to effectively and positively communicate with each other can change the way we ultimately treat each other. So speak honesty, think with sincerity, and act with integrity. And those are Scott's thoughts.
Excellent job as always, Scott. We have become the most social, antisocial culture, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we just kind of lost, we've lost our way. We got immersed in this technology world. And you know, it's funny because I do see people coming back to the basics a little bit every now and then. And it's cool when I see kids do it. I teach two online classes for college credit in speech. And I'm seeing kids start to take on the topics like put your phones down, get off of social media. I mean, granted, we have a lot of kids that are just bathing in that and steeping in it, but there are some that are starting to realize that this is dangerous that we're messing with. Yeah, just for starters.
Slippery slope for sure. Yep. So, hey, a couple of quick comments here from the Idaho Bowl. That's the statewide all-star football games for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. 100 episodes. Let's go. Congrats, guys. Keep them coming. And here's Frank Case, the softball coach from Glens Ferry. Great show, guys. Hey, thanks a lot, Coach Case. We appreciate it. Absolutely. And here is Melody. She came on a little earlier talking about the Buell softball walk-off grand slam. She goes, I'd like to know what classes those are so I can sign my kids up.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Just message me and I'll give you all the deets, as the kids say, or the 911 or the 411, whatever it is they say these days. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. That's Scott@idahosports.com. For our next edition of Scott's Thoughts, Scott, I thought now that we're into the spring season, gets hard to focus in, right? I've talked to a lot of kids. I've talked to a lot of adults that are teachers that, hey, I'm just counting down the days, man. I'm just counting down the days. Like, how do you stay focused for that? You've completed 90% of the task. How do you focus in for that final 10% and not get distracted?
Oh man, you see this in every school every year. I mean, it's, you talk about senioritis, spring fever, the whole nine yards. It's real. And it's not just kids. I mean, it's teachers and coaches as well. I mean, they see the finish line, and as soon as the weather turns, man, everybody is in a dead sprint. And sometimes we just kind of forget all the responsibilities and obligations that we have along the way. But you know, it's tough to stay focused. And the only thing you can do at that point is just remember, like I just got done saying, remember the why. Why are you doing it? You know, and it baffles me sometimes whenever I see like seniors go through all of this schooling only to get to their senior year and say, nah, I'm good, you know, or not care, or what. It's like, seriously, what are you doing? You know, and that's a real battle that teachers and administrators fight. So it's about staying focused on the end goal and not getting caught up in the here and now. So, I mean, that is my initial reaction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're looking forward to expanding upon that on next week's edition of Scott's Thoughts here on the Magic Valley Prepcast. One quick programming note before we head out, Scott. This is a live look at the 2024 DirectCom invite from Pocatello, yeah. Idaho State University. 32 high school track and field teams competing right now live on idahosports.com. Totally free to tune in and watch. And there are some Magic Valley teams competing, Scott. We have Lighthouse Christian, Murtaugh, Valley, Oakley, and Raft River. The usual suspects, right? Over here, yeah, competing.
Yeah, what a cool deal. And, you know, Paul's up there on the camera kind of doing his thing. And matter of fact, he sent me a text and a picture of, he was in the middle of the 3200, I think it was, or something like that. And it just looks like a gorgeous day for track. And it's about time because we have not had very many good weather days for this type of thing. So this really invigorates everybody when you see the weather change and you see the spring sports out there. And what a great job they do with this track meet. And I know that we're very proud to be bringing that to you.
Look at this. I mean, they're running into your living room. They're running right for you.
And here they come in lane four. Lane four with the 2 minute lead. Down to 10 meter lead. Here the approach finish line. Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool. Right? Yeah,
it is. Yep. Matter of fact, we're doing our big giant track meet in Jerome is called the Tim Dunn Invitational. And we were supposed to have had that on April 6th, but we went through like our second ice age during that time. And as we were getting ready to finally come out of our fifth winter, we moved that track meet to the 26th, which is next Friday. And that's one of the huge track meets that we've got teams from all over coming in. And I'm up on the mic calling it like a race. It's a horse race. You know, I introduce everybody in the lanes and we're off and in lane two. It's so around and we just call the whole thing. And then we have big giant medal presentations at midfield after each race. So we give them their medals. I mean, it is a really cool thing that we're trying to create over there. And it's a lot of fun. And we just hope the weather cooperates with us. And that's next Friday, the 26th.
Yeah, I have a feeling next week's show might be a little more track and field oriented between talking about the DirectCom invite. This was the meet last year where they had the costumed relay race where different teams were in different costumes and one guy had, you know, a donut hanging in front of him as he was running. And
that is so cool. I forgot all about that, but that is such a cool thing, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. So we'll highlight any notable Magic Valley performances there and also get you set for a big weekend at track and field locally in the Magic Valley next weekend as well. And friendly reminder, the DirectCom invite going on for, I mean, it's a track meet, several more hours. It's you can tune in on idahosports.com. All right, Scott. Hey, thanks for being part of this for 100 episodes. It's been a remarkable journey so far.
Wow. I could not be happier. I enjoy this as much as anything. And it kind of sucks sometimes when, you know, I've got other responsibilities and I have to skip a week or whatever. And this past was all about the speech, district speech, hosting state speech at our place, not just competing. And there was just no time, but there is no way in the world I'm ever giving this up. This is too cool for school. And we just want to keep going. And so, Thanks for being with me on the journey. And here's to 100 more, Brandon. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Sounds good. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, to the Magic Valley Prepcast Enjoy the competition this weekend and travel safe. For Scott Burton, I'm Brandon Bainey, and we will see you next time for another edition of the Magic Valley Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.